I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo.
Good evening, Vashon Island. I am Megan Hastings, and this is KVSH 101.9 and the Cats and Jammer Follies. Good evening. Tonight, I have a very special guest on, a beautiful painter woman by the name of Olivia Pendergast. I always want to add an R in there for some reason. she is a woman who lives in Kenya and primarily paints people. You do landscapes.
I do.
But I think you're known, on Vashon Island anyway, for...
figuratives.
For figuratives.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw your work many, many years ago. You had paintings up in several homes of friends here on Vashon. I mean, like, I can't even tell you. Probably, like, 8 different people have paintings that are of yours in your house. In fact, yesterday, I was at my friend Hillary Emmer's house. Do you know her?
I remember.
She has a painting of yours. So she and I, a couple times a year, we make rugula. It's her Grandma Rose's recipe. So I'm there at her house, and we're rolling, literally yesterday, rolling out the dough, and I'm looking at this piece. And they're so beautiful and enigmatic and powerful. And her description, I wanted to let you know what she thought about it. She said she was walking through the show, and then there was this woman who had her chin slightly lifted up, and it showed perfect confidence. She said, a woman breathing with an attitude. And that is how...
That's nice. I thought
it was very nice. Especially, I watched the video that you sent me about your description and about how you yourself don't even know the emotion that you're feeling so much of the time, and that you want people to be able to project their own emotions on your pieces so you don't necessarily include so much emotion. But right. I think that they really do speak miles of depth and quite emotional, actually. I mean, how would you describe your work?
They're subtle. I think they're not overt. People aren't, you know, gleefully smiling or looking
not.
Tragic. They're, there's a quiet dignity to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the emotion is there, but it's very subtle, like you said, in the lifted chin.
Yeah.
Or the way the hands are kind of articulated, or there's a sideways glance with the eyes. So I had a critic one time write an article on my work, and he said they all look the same to me. And I was like, you're not looking close enough.
You know,
you're not spending enough time. You're just generalizing my work. And for me, you know, everybody has their own experience in my work, and that's okay. But for me, each one is infused. There is a dignity there, but because
absolutely.
I find that in most human beings have that. But there is a different experience of each person.
Yeah.
And he actually recanted later, and he would often come to my shows. This was in Nairobi, and started to like my work. At first, he just, I don't know.
He had a bee in his bonnet.
Something. He had a bee in his bonnet. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And you've lived in... Nairobi? Do you live outside of Nairobi, or are you in the city?
I live right, kind of not in downtown or anything, but in what you would call the suburbs, sort of Nairobi.
Tell us about, I don't know anything about Nairobi. I've never been to Africa. I'd love to go.
It's intense. It's, we lived on another side of town for 8 years. I liked it on that side of town. It's called Parklands, which sounds lovely, but it was actually quite built up. But, and the neighborhood we were in was largely Somali and a lot of Kenyan Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was very culturally diverse, very religiously diverse. And, I liked it because we weren't in a gated community. I mean, every house there has a fence around it with, unfortunately, like razor wire and guards, which we call
just
a,
in
a
general.
Scaries. Yes.
Everybody has that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's, and it's not just upper income people. Even lower income people will have guards that they can afford.
Is there that much crime?
There's, it's sort of like a, if you're not using it, somebody will kind of attitude.
Got
so
it.
It's not even necessarily a stealing. It's kind of like a, it's not being used right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just sort of the general consensus of things. Is if you've got a bucket sitting there or a broom and it's not within your walls of your house, then it's available
it's
to be used.
For,
yeah, somebody's not using it, so somebody else will. So, I mean, and yes, there is crime, but I didn't see it a lot.
But it doesn't have an overwhelming feeling of crime.
I don't have that, but I'm in pretty secure compound, you
mm-hmm.
know. So now I like that neighborhood because it was very authentic. People were walking around. We knew, I actually was friends more with like house help and guards more than I was tenants. I don't know why, I just tend to make friends with that. And so we knew the owners of kiosks selling fruits and vegetables.
Those are good people to know.
They were, it was great. It was, yeah, it was lovely. And my daughter grew up in a neighborhood like that. So it was a little more of an authentic experience. And just recently, since she's gotten a little older and wants to like ride a bike to friends' houses or, you know, walk around the neighborhood by herself more,
mm-hmm.
we moved into more of a gated community. But so for the first, you know, 10 years that she was there, she had that more authentic experience, which I really valued a lot. But the neighborhood
sure.
we were in was being built up. And so there was a lot of dust and noise and stuff, so we moved.
And tell us about your experience with photographing people that you're for future paintings. Like, how do you meet them? How do you approach
yeah.
them? Because as a white woman in Kenya, I mean, you can't just like walk up to anyone. Hey, can I take a photo? I mean, you could. But
I mean, you can't. Yeah, you can. I think people get offended when they see you pointing a camera at them and not asking them. So that
sure.
is that is the
that's
which
legitimate.
Is understandable, and so that's something
but that's
that
not
I
your
don't
style.
Do. No, I wouldn't do that. And so I generally there's a woman that's worked with me for the last 10 years. She helps me in the house, and we've become. She's basically my family in
mm-hmm.
Kenya. Her name is Lucy, and she has friends in the community she lives in. And so she'll go in and ask a group of women, can my friend come and photograph you? And people actually, sometimes they get nervous. A lot of times they're fine and very willing. And they know that it's a paid job. I will pay them for their time.
And they know it's going to become a painting.
They don't, yeah, they're told that. But I don't know that they
I mean,
necessarily
would they be,
understand like the context of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
would they be privy to like seeing like even photographs on a phone of your
absolutely.
Work?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I show them my work before I photograph them. I also will often print photographs. Like I'll go ahead and take pictures of their kids too. Like, and I don't paint people smiling, but maybe they do a couple photographs where they're smiling with their children, and then I'll print those and give them back to them because people don't have access a lot of times. They might have, they might have smartphones. They might be able to. But if the phone is stolen, they might not have those pictures anymore. So I'll print some of the pictures and take them back to people. So it's so Lucy will go in and ask people, and they'll say yes. So there'll be a group waiting on a certain day, and then I go in and photograph.
Yeah, it was on that video that you sent, and it was lovely to watch their gestures, and they all seemed very excited to do it and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And you're very respectful of their wishes, it seems. You know what I mean? And the kids,
really
and the kids seem like super excited.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to be painted? I mean, come on.
I know.
I mean, what an honor.
Yeah. They do get super excited about it. And it's funny because in America, I didn't generally offer to pay people because there was a better understanding of what the image was being used for. But for this, it's, you know, a lot of these people, it will help feed their kids,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I couldn't afford to pay people enough in the United States. It would be, you know, if I was paying. I mean, that's not true. If you know, I've worked with models here on the island where we've gone and we paint and draw models. And so there's a fee for that.
You mean
so,
like classes?
Yeah. Classes where a model is hired to do it. So that's you know, I do it here.
I was a
I've
model in college.
Too. Were you? I did
for
it once.
For the art classes.
Yeah. I did it once for another artist in art school, and I was like, I'll never do that again.
Well, you know, I did it probably for sure a year at this art school that I went to in Chicago. And it was hard because you have to hold poses.
You do.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'm not good at that.
I remember I was young and I'd come in and be hungover and it'd be like hot and I'd be like, oh, this, I got to go home.
Just melt. Yeah. Yeah. No modeling. It's hard. Well, the good thing is that I paint, I work from photographs. So people, it's literally about anywhere from 30 seconds to a couple of minutes of them helping me out.
Before you went to Africa, because you've been there now for quite a long time, but when you were here on Vashon or you're from North Carolina, who would you pick to paint? Like who is an interesting person to you?
Well, it's funny because I did do a show here called The Elders, and it was about the elders on the island. And so I painted, I'm forgetting names now. It's been so long since I've been here. John Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I painted John Brown, and I painted Michael Mead.
Oh, nice.
And I painted, there were a bunch of,
that's
Susan
a great group
and
already.
Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Susan and Joe. And I can't remember who else. It was a lot of people. I'm seeing the paintings in my head right now, but it's been a long time. So I would just kind of think of an idea, kind of a theme like that I was interested in. And that show was lovely because Michael Mead came and spoke at it and did kind of helped me do the intro to it.
He's
like
lovely.
The value of being an elder in a community and what that what the opportunities are. The implications of being an elder.
Sure, it has a lot of connotation.
So I mean, I've always painted people. I don't just paint Kenyans. It's just that's what happens to be around me right now.
Absolutely,
and they're beautiful. So why wouldn't I paint them? You know, but
I'm with you.
If I came back here, I would paint. You know, I've thought about doing a show of redheads. I've always wanted to paint.
I do
red
love
hair. I think
redheads.
They're beautiful. There's something
and
lovely
so
about that.
And they're so rare.
Yeah, and they're apparently getting rarer. So I think that would be a lovely show. I have all kinds of ideas.
What is the art scene like in Nairobi?
It's amazing. It's
sophisticated.
Yeah.
Is there like a what is called an expat community there of Americans that live there? Mm-hmm. Is it primarily like in the art scene? Describe to me. Who's there? What kind of art is coming out of there? I'm always curious.
Yeah, it's amazing. The art, it's a vibrant art scene. There's a lot of collectives of artists. I mean, I'm a single stay-at-home painting homeschooling mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have like a real social life outside of, that's not true. I'm developing one now, but so I'm not going out to a lot of gallery openings. But I do make some of them, and there's this youthful culture there of artists that's just exploding. And being around them, the Kenyan artists, it's enlivening, and it's just so exciting to me. And they know my work, most of them do. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm at a show or something like that and I start talking to them, they find out. They're so excited to talk to me about their work and share.
I love that.
And it brings this like freshness to my life that, you know, because just sitting in my studio painting all the time is pretty isolating, which, you know, I mean, I crave that, but at the same time, it can be a bit isolating. But
sure.
Their work is, there is world-renowned artists in Kenya that I'm privileged to be in a gallery with. And they are... when I first found the gallery that my work has been shown in Kenya, I walked in and saw this art that was fresh and new and very expressive. It wasn't like when I had been in Malawi, the work was sort of by rote. You know, it was the same zebra that was being taught over and over again that sold to the tourists, or the same woman with the pot on her head.
Yep.
So, they didn't have a lot of exposure to outside artists, only what they were being taught. But when I went to Kenya, it was much more current and personalized. You know, it was they were expressing themselves through this art, and I was blown away. So I just went to the gallery owner and said, "Can I show you my work?" And she kind of was like, did this kind of sigh and like the tired eyes, like, another one. So it's like another expat wife who is stuck in Africa who took a watercolor class one time, right?
And you're like, no, so, I'm
no, prolific. I was like, no, really, let me just send you my, I really think my stuff would fit in here. And you never know. They might, you know, think your stuff is not good. So I sent her the work. Now I got home and immediately sent it. And I just waited by the computer and there was no response. And I waited and waited, and a week went by, and I was like, I'm just going to wait. And then another week went by, and I was like, all right. I really feel like she was going to respond. So I called her, and I was like, hey, I just want to see if you got my stuff. And she's like, who are you? And I was like, sorry, I talked to you about 2 weeks ago. It was like 2 weeks on the money. And, and so I was like,
I can't even believe you waited 2 weeks.
I know. I was really trying to be patient. And then she said, oh yeah, yeah. Just, it's all buried. Just send it to me again. And she called me back like within a minute or two.
She hadn't looked at it.
She had never seen it. Oh, and so God. It just got buried. And so within 2 minutes, she was like, yeah, I totally want to carry your work. So I was like, yes.
Congratulations.
I feel honored.
So how long have you been with that gallery?
I've been there 10 years. Recently, I've had to kind of, I'm not showing there because of work permit issues and things like that. So I have to.
But you also show outside of
I do.
Nairobi. Didn't you have a show in Rome, I think?
I had a show in Rome. And I mean, I've shown in, I was in a gallery
you.
In Dubai. What's that?
I do follow you.
You do. I was in a gallery in Dubai. And that one changed hands, so it became, the work was more Islamic than it was before, which is fine. I mean, it's the culture there.
Sure.
But my work wasn't as...
It wasn't what they were looking for.
It wasn't what they were looking for, and I also had to be very careful what I put in their gallery. You know, I couldn't, of course, kind of be nudes or anything like that. I don't do a lot of nudes, but I do them occasionally. And so it wasn't a right fit for me anymore. So mm-hmm. I'm not in Dubai anymore. And then I had the show in Rome and then.
Did you sell a lot?
Not a lot in Dubai. I was surprised. I thought, you know, when I got in Dubai, I thought this is it. You know, it's always like
that. I would think so because it has such a population filled with so many different people from everywhere.
Yeah.
Every walk of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as my best gallery has been in Nairobi.
In Nairobi.
And it's a lot of expats that come that want to take something with them,
mm-hmm.
put something in their house. But also, I was surprised to learn that about half of my work is sold to Kenyans. So I was thrilled by that. Yeah. And even the previous president, Uhuru, his wife bought three of my paintings. So I'm in their collection as well.
Wow.
So to be bought by the Kenyattas.
That's
who Kenyatta. He so they own three of mine. Sorry, I'm so jet lagged. Right
I know.
Now.
I feel bad.
Perfect. It's a travel show, though. No, it's great. It's great. The art scene is very vibrant there.
And will you have any? Will you show any work while you're in North Carolina?
I won't. I haven't been showing so much in the States. I'm just trying to keep the gallery in. Nairobi with art, and mm-hmm. the one, and then I'm in one in Barcelona called Out of Africa, and then I actually had some pieces in a gallery called Jago on Bainbridge.
Well, I'm sure that if you got a show back on Vashon, it would sell out.
I would love that. I'll have to talk to Blue Heron and see maybe I can do one again.
You
at
should
some point.
Absolutely,
because I had that one a few years ago, but it was mostly older paintings that were just here, still in storage. So.
And so you are going to be in North Carolina for the whole summer?
Yep.
Do you think you'll do a lot of painting while you're there?
It's a bit hard there because I don't have my own place. I just am staying with my parents part-time mm-hmm. and then staying at another friend's house for a bit. So I don't have a studio space there, but I have painted there.
How is it for your daughter to acclimate back to the United States, having been raised predominantly in Africa? Mostly, I mean, that's got to be a culture shock.
I mean, she was here the first 5 years of her life on Vashon, but that's starting to fade. You know,
I bet it is.
I'd love to have brought her on this, but I just felt like it was too much to sort of schlep her back here so I could deal with some things here and my storage unit. But she does great here. She does great in America. She does great in Kenya. You know, they're so flexible. And since she's homeschooled, we don't have to stick to a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And she just brings her you know, she has tutors and then she has a curriculum and she does her schooling here. She does her schooling there. So, you know, she's almost a teenager. So she's starting to make more solid friendships.
Yeah.
So that's, I felt a little bit of a pull this time when we left that she was a little
sad.
She was sad to leave her friends. And so, but she also has some friends in North Carolina. So, but she seems to do fine. She misses things like.
Well, it sounds like she's going to turn out to be a really, really interesting person for having had all of these experiences.
I think so.
I mean, yeah. What an amazing beginning of life.
It's so funny because she will go on safari. And so we'll go out to Masai Mara and go on a safari and spend days there. And she actually gets bored with elephants, which I'm like, what a cool thing to be like a kid that's bored with elephants. Like, that's a good thing. That means they're not extinct and that you're seeing a lot of them. So for me, I'm like, that's, you know, it's a typical 12-year-old response. But it's kind of cool that she has that.
Yeah.
That she's seen so many elephants and so many rhinos that she's just like,
so
can we please find a leopard? You know. So.
And when you're not painting people and you do reach toward a landscape, atmosphere, background, world, what inspires you there? Like, where is your go-to? Like, what is it? Like, where's your perfect spot?
You mean the physical location or the...
Of like a landscape that you are going to paint because you don't do it very often.
Yeah.
Like what is the background that inspires you?
I think, well, first of all, sometimes I just get overwhelmed by humanity. And when that happens, I retreat into the nature. So I go to usually trees and I never, well, I won't say never, but rarely combine the two. And I don't know why that is. It just doesn't work for me to have like a person standing there with trees in the background. It feels like too many figures, if that makes any
sense. Sure, it does. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. Yeah. And so I recently my landscapes have been usually. It's interesting. I just kind of caught this parallel in my own life. But usually there's like a tangle of branches with light coming through. So there's negative space behind the branches that I'm seeing the light coming through. And it kind of blows it out, like if your camera's out of focus. And everything's kind of these round globes of light. And that's been a lot of what I've done. And recently I've been more interested in these planes of color, these huge planes of color like out in the Mara, where there's these huge fields and the big skies and the thunderheads are rolling in and there's just a few trees, you know, those flat top iconic African trees.
Sounds incredible.
So, and then the, you know, the sky is like fuchsia and the grass is, you know, like a yellow ochre. So, you know, just.
You have an incredible color palette that you work from.
I love color.
Yeah. I always responded
Thank
to
you.
It. The one show that you had at Snapdragon so long ago now, I remember you hanging it and your daughter was very small and I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful.
Oh, you're just, thanks.
Your color choices are perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love colors. I just, yeah. Some people have said I'm a colorist. I don't know what that means, but I'm like, I feel like that's what I am, but I'm not sure what the definition of a color is.
Run with it.
Yeah.
And then one final question just about your artwork, and then I'd like to, we can talk about lots of different things if you want. We have a couple minutes left after that. But walk us through your iconic figure, the way that your people have like very long, they're elongated in some ways and not in others. And
yeah.
I mean, is there a method to your madness?
I don't know what that's all about. All I know is that I started to sort of, I went to Vermont Studio Center for a residency program and I was painting and I was very frustrated, like having a total artist dilemma of like, I don't know what I want to do. I want to paint figures, but I don't know how to paint them. Like I was trained classically to paint realistically and, you know, the layers of paint and proper, you know, scale and the figures are all, you know, the right, my vocabulary is so bad right now because my the brain fog. Anyway, structurally correct. And somebody came into my studio and they said, have you looked at Modigliani stuff, Modigliani? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know who that is. Like, I had 5 years of art history in school, right? But I somehow
you missed
sleeping
him.
Or, you know, something. And so I
missed
it. He's
a biggie.
He's a biggie, too. And so I was like, no, I don't know who this person is. I was like, whatever. And I went over to the library and I got the books and I pulled the first one off the shelf. And I still remember reaching up and grabbing this book by the spine and pulling it out. And when I saw the figure on the front, I burst into tears and I pushed the book against my chest. And I just stood there crying. Like, it was like I recognized this painting. Like, I knew it in my soul. And I grabbed like 3 or 4 more of the books and I went and found a chair. And I sat and I wept as I looked at his work. And I was like, I didn't know I was allowed to paint like this. Like, I thought it had to be like with this strong lighting and mm-hmm. chiaroscuro, like this like shading with reflected light under the chin and under the nose with a hot spot. I thought I had to do all that. And I love doing all that. But it felt like too much information. Like, it mm-hmm. was like gilding the lily. And what I wanted to do was paint what I felt about people, not what I saw as much. And so I feel this, the oneness, the love. And so when I saw what he was painting, I was like, I know this guy felt the same way I did. Mm-hmm. Whether he was aware of it or not, I wasn't sure. But so that's kind of where the reverence comes from, the auras. And
He is one of my favorites of that.
He's amazing, yeah.
That old school genre.
Yeah.
Olivia, is there any other thing about like your painting, your time in Africa that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, that's pretty general.
I know.
I don't know if I can wrap my brain around anything right now. It's just been such a journey.
Do you think that you'll stay there? Finish out your days?
I've got to be there another 5.5 years mm-hmm. because of my child. And so I'm going to enjoy it a lot. And I am facilitating or teaching meditation there, which I really, really enjoy doing. And painting there and the people and the beauty and just being around the animals as much. We try to get out of the city and go camping or go on safari as much as we can.
It's a special journey you're on.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what this is about, like, but I've learned and grown so much in Africa. Like, there's so much to learn there. So it's an amazing
place. I want to thank you so much for taking the time. Jet lagged and all for coming out and talking with us.
Yeah,
thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you. It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
My friend Hillary wanted to show you this piece. Wetu mokuve muyo, nonge muasa mweo. Wetu mokuve muyo, nonge muasa mweo. Pasision da basie. Ola we kabala, kwasi sionda basi. Ola we kabala ngamanya. Kibeti ngongo na kenge kisiao. Kibeti ngongo na kenge kisiao. Kwasi sionda basi. Kela ke kabala. Posición de base que la que cabalanga maña. Mutumia y que vete.